Great. Well, thank you, Monique. Okay, so today I'm going to talk a little bit about our routine testing program at Sinai. I'm Nancy Glick. I'm an infectious disease physician and the HIV medical director at Mount Sinai Hospital and at Access Community Health Network. So a little bit about Sinai. So Sinai sits in North Lawndale, which is on the west side of the city. It's in an area that has both one of the highest prevalence and incidence of HIV in Chicago. It's a level one trauma center. It's a safety net hospital. It's a community teaching hospital. We have an urban health center within the hospital. Our emergency department sees about 60,000 patients a year. We've been involved with HIV testing, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of our HIV testing program. So this started in 2001 when we actually were offered some seed money to hire health educators for HIV testing. And I think we actually were I think the people came to us because a number of hospitals had already turned them down, and they thought maybe we would be interested. So we took it, and we started testing. We hired two health educators at the time to work in our emergency department. The day that we started, the head of our emergency department, who had previously been on board, looked at me and said, you know, we can't do this. This is crazy. This is public health. Measure that we're an emergency room and we just can't do it. So we kind of negotiated it so that we were allowed to have the health educators there as long as they didn't interrupt in the flow of the emergency room. And which was kind of my first big lesson is if you don't get in their way, they'll let you stay there. So that's kind of your first in. And then it's figuring out how to work with people to actually help them so they want you there, which is what our health educators did. They were drawing blood, and they would ask the nurses, you know, when they were drawing blood for the HIV test, do they want it for other blood tests? So they started to really kind of build a rapport with the ED staff at that point. We then have received funding through the CDC for HIV and STD testing. Which went on for 3 years, which was a great program. Again, we switched over to, I don't remember which rapid test, but we have used a number of rapid tests. I think we were eventually used the OraQuick for that project. And then in 2008, we received funding through the CDC high prevalence communities. We were still using HIV testers to do this program, and we were still using OraQuick technology. That project ended in 2010, and with the end of that project, testing stopped, because what we realized is that we had health educators that the ED had depended on, but without the educators, they didn't want to do testing. So in 2011, we received funding through FOCUS. And with this, we kind of changed our model completely to let the providers know that we wanted them to do the testing, and that once someone tested positive, we would take over from there. And again, there was a lot of reluctance. It's been a very kind of long time in coming to get especially in the emergency department, to get the providers to do the testing. But we have slowly gotten people on board, and once they see that if there is a positive, which I think is one thing they're afraid of, that what do we do if there's a positive, if once there is someone who tests positive, that we'll get involved and link them to care and make sure that they get the care they've provided that is needed. And then more recently, again, we're part of the Expanded Testing Initiative, and we've recently received CAPAS funding through the state of Illinois. So we realized initially, especially with having health educators, that there was limited capacity to provide testing around the clock, and this was always a barrier. We also wanted to start doing testing not just in the emergency department, but throughout the health system, and we subsequently have expanded into the inpatient and outpatient areas. we switched also over from rapid testing to blood-based testing, lab-based testing, and we're able to really provide that in a relatively rapid manner now. And then our prevalence rate is through the project was 0.9% positivity, which is, again, higher than the CDC recommendation of 0.1%. So with this, to really get people on board, we did a tremendous amount and continue to do a significant amount of trainings. We're involved in the medical resident orientations, the student orientations, new physician orientations to talk about HIV testing. We do staff trainings really from the registration people, our medical assistants, on up. We work with go to the manager's meeting, reporting to them, and then also offer CME presentations for our physicians. And we work closely with the Midwest AIDS Training and Education Center to do this. We do reporting by department, so this is just one example of what we do. We give a report card when we meet with the residents or the staff, tell them who are the top testers, especially with the residents. This works great. There's a lot of competition, and they always like to be the top tester. And then just to give them feedback about what they're doing. And if they have questions or about processes, this is a time for them to ask those questions. We also have created flyers for the ED staff for registration. So when anyone comes into the hospital, they'll get a pamphlet, a brochure about HIV testing that they can look at. So this is both in the emergency department and also when they come into the hospital. And again, these are just a few examples of those. So this is our process. So the patient is offered HIV testing, and we actually have the provider, because of the way that our risk managers have interpreted consent for testing, we really have to have the physician or the nurse practitioner or the physician's assistant do the testing and order the test. The patient is consented to be screened. Then the blood draw is done. If the HIV test is non-reactive, we have the physicians notify the patient, and this usually occurs either in the emergency department or if they're inpatient in the inpatient unit, or if they come back once the patient comes back for their follow-up visit, if they're in the outpatient. If this person is felt to be high risk, then a navigator will work with them to do further counseling. If the test is reactive, the patient navigator is immediately paged. And either the physician, depending the timing of it, the comfort level of the physician, they'll work with the patient to disclose their diagnosis status, do post-test counseling, and then the navigator will ensure that the patient is linked to care in our infectious disease clinic. The navigator stays following the patient through their first two appointments at Sinai, or if they decide that they'd like to go to another clinic. We've implemented the screening algorithm. We had fourth generation testing available in the end of 2012, and then this year we started doing the multi-spot, the Bio-Rad multi-spot for supplement testing to confirm. And then if the if there's a discordant test results, then we'll do viral load testing to figure out what the final diagnosis is. So the first two steps can really be done within a couple of hours that we can get a test result. And then we still do send out testing for the PCR testing for so that takes about 2 to 3 days to get those results. Since we've started this project, so since August of 2011, we've done just about 15,000 tests. We've had 80 new diagnoses, and then since we've had the fourth generation tests, we've had 7 acute infections. The CD4 count, which is something when we started in 2001, we had 46% of the people had an AIDS diagnosis at the time of diagnosis, and that's decreased to 26% now. And then, as you would expect, the viral load is very high, and the CD4 count has really been all over the map for our acute cases. Of the 10,000, over almost 11,000 tests since we've done since November of 2012 with the new testing technology, we've had 53 new diagnoses and 7 acute infections, so about a 13% acute infection rate. 1,600 of these tests were done in our emergency department, and 6 of the 7 acute infections were found in the emergency department. Really kind of, again, what you may anticipate because people come in feeling sick when they're seroconverting. The fourth generation test has been really integrated well into our system. We have about an hour turnaround time for a test, which is also for the ED. Most of our patients will be there for that long at least, and so that hasn't been an issue. We have been able to really kind of see in real time what's going on in our community with finding these acute infections, and able to really work closely with those patients to make sure that we can be in touch with the people that they've been in contact with. And the multi-spot was really nice to bring in instead of the Western blot. The Western blot was a send-out test, and now we can get confirmatory test results very quickly. Once an acute infection is identified, the patient navigator is called. These people we will do especially close monitoring with. We offer assistance with partner services, and we'll work with the Chicago Department of Public Health on this. We're now hoping to work with them to the health department hasn't yet developed a system for acute infections. They're now in the process of doing that. We provide harm reduction even if we don't know for sure that this is an acute case. We'll work with them to talk about the risk, the higher risk of transmission at this point. We submit case reports forms to the health department. This person will be seen, if this is in the emergency department or the inpatient unit, immediately by an infectious disease physician. We do genotyping right away, and then as soon as possible we'll start antiretroviral therapy. This is just a small summary of the first 7 cases that we've seen. It's really been interesting because 2 out of the 7 were women. We've had multiple people who are higher risk heterosexual, and then also 3 men who have sex with men, ranging in age from 19 to 56. So as far as setting up a routine testing program, just a few things from what we've learned. One thing is to really call it a screening program instead of a testing program. When we talk about screening, it's really, we've been able to convince a lot of people that we're doing this as part of their, you know, normal screening. So colonoscopy, cholesterol screening. And I think that kind of changes the way that people think about this process. Also figure out what your agency will value about routine screening. So this is something that when we can finally show the data to our management, that they realize that this is an important service in our community. They see this as something that we can, you know, work with them to set up a model for other types of testing processes and disease entities within the hospital. We talk a lot about missed opportunities because I think one thing that people will talk to me about is liability around HIV testing. But the missed opportunities, we really will say that that is a liability as well to the health system. Navigators, you know, I think we've kind of used our resources to go from educators to navigators and realize the importance of navigators, so how important it is to, you know, find funding for these positions. Provide constant feedback to the management staff to make sure that they are going to help hold other people accountable. and then work with the other people who are doing testing to help, you know, learn from them what they've done to implement their programs. Also, to figure out the medical flow, you want to make sure you're not creating barriers in the medical flow, but really helping the providers out, and that working around what they're doing already. And then also working closely with our lab. We've had a great, our lab administrators have worked really close with us to make this all possible. We, again, have had really strong leadership from our lab. We're lucky to have on-site linkage to care, which makes things easy. Also, we have significant wraparound services to support people who are diagnosed with HIV, case management, mental health services. And also, our team has been pretty persistent in figuring out different ways to do this when one way doesn't work. We have state-of-the-art technology, which has really been, I think, has surprised a lot of people in our community that we have this technology available. And we now have funding available for these services through 2016 with the help of expanded testing. Some of the challenges, I think, is the issues around Illinois law has made it very difficult to do full opt-out testing. It's, again, the way that our risk management managers perceive and interpret the law, and the law really leaves that open for areas around consent. Where the system has not adopted a full policy yet, but we are working on that. And then, you know, one thing I would say is that you really want to get executive buy-in as soon as possible. That's something that's taken us a little longer to get, and we continue to work through that. And then this is just a little bit about the four pillars and how we've managed to implement, you know, really along the way of the four pillars. And most of this is what I've spoken about already. So that is this. This is our HIV team, who we have a few people here today. And then Laura Branch, our focus program officer. So thank you.